I want you to look again, verse 21. You'll notice the Apostle Peter asks a question about the future and about the will of God for the Apostle John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, Peter and John, as most of you know, were both fishermen from a little town called Capernaum. And not only were they fishermen along the Sea of Galilee, the shores there, but they were actually fishing partners. They were in business together, as were their parents. And so they almost certainly, therefore, grew up together. In other words, Peter and John, for a long, long time, had been inseparable. Not just as disciples, first, by the way, of John the Baptist, but as schoolmates and friends and business associates. And now, as the Lord Jesus reveals to Peter some of his future, it becomes apparent that John, the younger of the two, is no longer going to follow, if you will, in the footsteps of Peter, and that Peter is no longer going to be associated with John as he once was. And so it's here in this very human scene, this very poignant moment in the lives of Peter and John, that the Spirit of God reveals a conversation between Peter and the Son of God. It's a conversation with the Lord Jesus who answers Peter's concerns and in so doing answers our concerns and many of our questions about the will of God. In other words, this text, beloved, tells us more about God's will and God's will for our lives than 1,000 Christian books could ever do. It's a very familiar, a very powerful text in the closing words of a most powerful book, the Gospel of John. However, what I really want you to notice this morning is that most notably these words about the will of God and all of its glory are not the actual closing words of this great book. No. For that, you have to continue reading and realize what John writes next, which, by the way, frankly, feels completely and inexplicably out of context. You know, one of the common complaints and familiar ones about an otherwise great book or film or play is that the ending is disappointing. That the end is anticlimactic, it's out of place or forced or unrelated to the former narrative. And of course, that's considered a flaw. That's considered a mistake in writing or playwriting. And in this case, however, you'll notice that as surprising and as out of context, as anticlimactic as this might feel, it is neither a flaw nor is it a mistake. Verse 22 again. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Pastor, you mean to tell me that the glorious Gospel of John, this amazing book, essentially ends and closes with the mention of a rumor? That the Apostle John takes his pen under divine inspiration and clarifies in his last words some misunderstanding that went about as a means of gossip, that indeed the closing words of the Gospel of the Son of God are those where John addresses a wild rumor that was started because people repeated a saying of Jesus, but they left out one word. That's the ending. That's the big finish. That's, as the French would say, the grand finale. Well, yes, it is. And it's because of that that I hope you'll listen very carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject of the rumor mill. The rumor mill. Father, please help us to understand why the purpose and the weight and the glory of this text in the closing words and chapter of John's Gospel. And help us to understand, Father, that these things were written for our learning, for admonition, that all Scripture is profitable. Speak to us, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to remind you again very quickly of exactly what is happening in John 21 that leads into our text today and why it is that this gospel closes with a false rumor. In verses 18 and 19, the Lord Jesus tells Peter that one day he's going to suffer and he's going to die for his faith. In verse 20, Peter responds by pointing to the younger apostle John and asking him what he's going to do about his life and God's will for him. In Raphael's famous Renaissance masterpiece that's called Christ's Charge to Peter, John, the apostle, is pictured there, portrayed as a young, smiling disciple, ready for a lifetime of service, while Peter, Raphael depicts, is a graying, bearded man being told of his fate. In the Bible, when the Lord answers Peter's question about John, he does so, you'll recall, with another question. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Now, of course, look. The important word in this text, you will notice, is the word if. If it was God's will that John lives until the return of Jesus Christ, then what difference does that make for you, Peter? Peter, you follow me and I'll take care of John. Which leads us to the false rumor. Verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if, see that word? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, look folks, a false rumor is started because somebody forgot a word, a little small two-letter word. You've all seen the punctuation, the old example with a single comma. The sentence, "Let's eat grandma," without the comma becomes, "Let's eat grandma." Punctuation saves lives. The cover of a canine magazine had a picture of Rachel Ray hugging her pet, and it said, "Rachel Ray finds inspiration in cooking her family and her dog," except the cover has no punctuation. So it really says, "Rachel Ray finds inspiration in cooking her family and her dog." Ew. There's a rumor. And of course, this is a reminder of why our Bible, why the Word of God is so powerful and glorious and needed every day in our lives. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, three things I want us to consider very carefully in John 21. Important lessons. And the first one is that, number one, rumor is not truth. Now follow this. Rumor is not truth. Now folks, there are three things you note immediately at the beginning of verse 23. Look at it. A, there's a saying. B, the saying went abroad. That means it went everywhere. And C, it went everywhere. What? Among the brethren. In other words, this isn't just some run-of-the-mill JV rumor. Not at all. This is a big-time apostolic, early church, first century, intriguing rumor. Think about it. This is a rumor, folks, that has to do with the second coming, with immortality, with John versus Peter and this great privilege. This is a rumor that offers a countdown, really, to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't traffic in a more exciting and intriguing and guiding rumor. Who wouldn't want to spread this? Who wouldn't want to be the one to say, "Psst, did you hear that John is never going to die?" There's just one thing, beloved. This rumor isn't true. Which, of course, makes everything about it both dangerous and destructive. Imagine being a Christian in the first century and you believe this false rumor. Remember, John wrote this gospel when he was around 80 years of age. And so before he's had time to clarify and write this under inspiration, you are living and you're just counting the days. Every time John gets a cough or gets a fever, you're like, "Sell the house, Abigail. Jesus is coming any day now." It would be like a death watch to the second coming. It would be disruptive, it would be destructive, and it would be disheartening. In fact, suppose you believe this rumor and John died, which, by the way, he eventually did. Now you're going to doubt the Word of God. You've believed for decades that Jesus said he's never going to die. He dies, and now you live in doubt of the Word of God and confusion because you believed a rumor. By the way, let me remind you also that even if the rumor turns out to be true, if it turns out to be true, that Jesus did return, before John died. Do you realize it's still not the truth? It's not the truth, ladies and gentlemen, in that it's not what Jesus said. And yes, that matters. It's a reminder this morning that in your brief journey through this world, no rumor ever deserves your faith, no rumor deserves your hearing, and no rumor deserves your repeating, which is to say, stay away, always stay away from the rumor mill. Put it this way. Suppose you're on your iPad, or your laptop, or your smartphone someday, and you're stranded somewhere, and suddenly the battery icon turns red, and it says, caution, 10% battery power remains. And then it just drops to 9%. In other words, you know that your time is short. It's less than 10%. You still have a world of possibilities on that thing with your time and your energy, but only for a very brief time. Question, where then will you invest the time you have left? Will you spend your last opportunities on that computer or whatever, reading and searching conspiracy theories, reading and consuming InfoWars or National Enquirer or In Touch magazine or MSNBC? Okay, translate that then. Translate that battery power to your life. What's going to get the remaining time and energy of your life in this world right now? A whole world of rumors out there or the absolute Word of God? In fact, what do you now? Right now, what do you now spend most of your time hearing and repeating and believing? Rumors and uncertainties or truth and scripture? You see, folks, for most people, when you take the word if out of what Jesus actually said to Peter and then make it a rumor, it's a lot more exciting. Did you hear? John's never going to die. He's immortal. 2,000 years later, he's still somewhere. Probably Salt Lake City. You know, they believe that up there. I mean, where's John? This is so cool. Did you hear? John's not, he's going to tarry until Jesus comes. He's our rapture clock. Keep an eye on that man. I mean, folks, that's exciting stuff. And that's precisely why people like rumors. It's also why people in the rumor mill live shallow, anemic, defeated, and fearful lives. After all, what's the truth? What is the clear truth that Jesus said instead of the rumor in this text? What was the real message? Well, the truth is, Peter, you have a different path to the death than John does, and it includes martyrdom, but you, Peter, follow me. Because verse 19 says, your life and your death will glorify God. Isn't that enough? In fact, it will glorify the same God who also spoke truth back in chapter 14 when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Follow me, Peter, and trust me. That's the truth of today's text. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth, not some exciting rumor that always makes you free. Say, Pastor, why don't you ever preach about Bible codes? There are codes in the Bible. There are great books, lots of books written. Why don't you ever preach about the Bible codes or 15 minutes in heaven? Why don't you ever talk about that? Angels that were seen up in Alabama. Or who's the Antichrist or this miracle Bible bread and the Bible diet. Why don't you ever preach the gospel and the constellations? Why? Because, folks, I don't know if it's true, any of it. I definitely know that it's not the truth, not the truth, because it's not in the Bible. And guess what? Because I've only got 10% of my battery power left. Okay, 6%. Rumors don't deserve our faith. Rumors don't deserve our hearing. And rumors definitely don't deserve our repeating. But I can tell you what does. This does. Number one, rumor is not truth. The second thing you'll notice, number two, truth is not rumor. Verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Let me ask you a question. Why? Why do we know that His testimony is true? Well, folks, we know because His testimony is not a rumor. It is the written, inspired, infallible Word of God. Look at verse 25. This is the last verse of the chapter. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Do you notice the emphasis here on writing, written, on books? A reminder that God's holy word is a written word, so that the truth of God, beloved, is not some oral tradition or spoken rumor without a source of testimony. All scripture is given by inspiration. It is God breathed. So that if you leave a word out of Christ's command, if some preacher comes up here, a guest speaker, and he says something, Jesus said, and he says something, and he leaves out a word or two or five, guess what? I can go back and check that same command. Which is why this morning, that unlike a rumor, the Bible is certain. The Bible is reliable. The Bible is immutable, and thus it is always worthy of our faith, our hearing, and our repeating. You see, folks, that's why when someone repeats some rumor, we're not defenseless. Someone says, "Did you hear? Did you see the book, Da Vinci Code? Did you hear the rumor? Did you hear that Jesus isn't really God? Really? Where does it say that? In here? Oh, no. There's this other Book of Mormon. Well, Benny Hinn said the other day that he got a word of knowledge, or I've been following this fascinating man up in Colorado who spends 12-hour days in prayer, and he's receiving revelation. I've been reading these books by Mary Baker Eddy, or Jesus is calling on the other line. Rumor mill. It's all rumor mill. Let me ask you this question. When the Lord Jesus was attacked by Satan himself with strong temptation in Matthew chapter 4, what did he turn to as his weapon for strength and his hope? Quotes that he heard as a boy from his mother Mary, Jewish tradition in Nazareth, the carpenter's wisdom of Joseph. I want you to hear this very carefully. When the Lord Jesus was attacked, what did he do to Satan in the wilderness? What he did that day is something, ladies and gentlemen, that he did as a man in his weakness, so that what he did, beloved, is exactly what you can do. He didn't reveal his glory and blind Satan with light. He didn't raise his hand, open up the earth, and swallow him up like the sons of Korah. He did something as a man that every man and every woman here can do as well against evil. Jesus said to the devil, "It is written." He didn't say, "You know, there's this great saying I saw on Pinterest. You know, there's this great quote." He said, "It is written." Satan tempted Jesus with a rumor, remember, leaving out a few words in the book of Psalms. And Jesus answered him with the scripture in Deuteronomy and said, "It is written." Every time the devil opened his mouth with a temptation or with a rumor, the Lord Jesus threw scripture in his mouth, always saying, "It is written." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Over and over again, our Lord answered Satan with scripture. And what finally happened? Then the devil leaveth him. So, when the devil or doubt comes to you or comes to a believer and says you're not saved, how do you know that you're saved? You know you don't have to take that. You don't have to answer that with rumors or feelings or traditions. Answer them with truth. It is written that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Answer him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Answer him with truth. Here's an attack. God doesn't care about you. You are not going to make it financially. Answer it. It is written. It is written. It is written, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is written. You see, folks, Christians do not live by rumor, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We said, number one, rumor is not truth. Number two, truth is not rumor. The third thing I want you to notice, number three, is rumor is durable, truth is eternal. Verse 23, then. It's an important word. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren. Now, if the rumor, beloved, started then, meaning right after the resurrection, and it has continued to grow, and it grew until John wrote his gospel, how long did this particular rumor live? How long did this falsehood guide and deceive and disappoint many of the followers of Jesus Christ? Well, at least 30 years. Possibly 50 or 60 years. And let me just remind you this morning, that's exactly how rumors are. They are dangerously durable. Let me add this as well. If the Lord Jesus himself, if God in the flesh can be misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misquoted, don't you think you can be? And if the brethren, if the apostles can go around, the disciples, and they can misinterpret and misquote and spread rumors carelessly, don't you think you can? You know, one of the common challenges of being a pastor is often being misquoted and misinterpreted. Pastor said so and so. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. I heard him. I heard him say, let's eat grandma. I heard it. I heard Drew say just a minute ago, 3 weeks feels like 3 years in his marriage. I heard it. Spread that around. You know, I think about wearing one of those body cams, you know, police wear. So everything I say is recorded. Pastor said so-so. No, I didn't. Let me rewind. There, that's what I really said. Rumors are durable. That's why they're dangerous. Just because something's been said for a long time and it's been around for a long time and a lot of people say it and it's among the brethren and it's spread abroad doesn't make it true. Newspaper editor heard that Mark Twain had died and he wrote Twain's wife to get details for the obituary. Mark Twain himself opened up the letter. And it was him who responded to the editor by saying, the reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated, right? He's very famous. And when the editor published his famous quote, people still thought that he was dead. It was just a cover-up. Because rumors do that. They're durable. And that's why you always, always avoid the rumor mill. Someone once said, there are no idle rumors, and I can tell you, beloved, how true that is. It's interesting to me, by the way, that this entire rumor in John 21 started. The whole thing started because one person didn't mind his own business. What about him? That's usually how they start, and that's always how they're perpetuated. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds kind of disheartening. The durability of rumors seems so overwhelming. Aren't you discouraged? No. Not anymore. When I was a young preacher boy and young man first in the ministry, it was very discouraging. But I've grown in the Lord. And you know what? The reason I'm not discouraged and disheartened about it is that rumors are durable. But truth is eternal. I don't have my feet, and I haven't placed my heart on people's rumors or on a book such as the Book of Mormon that is nothing but a big book of lies and rumors. I don't have my hope based on rumors. I have my hope on truth, and truth is eternal. Rumors eventually fall and fail, all of them, but there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, 1 Kings 8:56. So, what Jesus said would happen to Peter many years before it ever happened. What Jesus said would happen happened exactly as he described. What people rumored would happen to John eventually went the way of all rumors. It died a slow death. In fact, ultimately, you remember, that rumor died when John did what all of us in this room are called to do. He ended it with truth. John corrected a misinterpretation with an interpretation of Scripture. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. With the battery life that you have left, suppose, you know, you had a little warning sign that said, you know, 60%. 40%, and then it turns red. And maybe you're only 25 years old. Doesn't mean it won't turn red there as well. And say 10%. With whatever battery power you might have left, here's my question. Where are you and where will you spend your energy, your effort, and your investment? In the rumor mill? Or in the deep well of God's eternal word? Which will you trust with your soul? You see, folks, it is not out of place. It is not anticlimactic at all. It's not strange that John ends his gospel with a rumor that has been corrected by the word of God. If anything, it is a reminder that God's word is true and trustworthy and that we are called to live by the words. It is written. I don't like what I hear from the major news networks. I don't like what I read in the New York Times. I don't like what cable news says. I don't like what comes out of our universities today. They traffic in rumors and lies. They traffic in that. And while I don't like it, and while I'm concerned, I am not at all disillusioned, because guess what? Rumors are durable, but they're not eternal. And we as God's people are not called to put our feet on uncertainties, but upon the certainty of God's word. And just as you ought to look at this rumor in the word of God that is a rumor about John, an apostle, that was not true. And you look at this rumor and you look at it with an eye of this is dangerous, this is deceitful, this is debilitating. You ought to look at every other rumor that comes your way with that same perspective. Did you hear about Brother Tolson? No, and I don't really care to. By the way, I do have something to say about him if you want to come to me after church. Did you hear about Brother Sam? There's a rumor about Brother Sam. A rumor? Then I don't want to hear it. Let's stick to facts. He's old. Durr than me. We are called by God's word to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If our Lord Jesus can be misquoted, misinterpreted, misunderstood by his own followers, then anybody can be. How important and vital for us to place our faith and our heart and the path of our life in the light of God's word alone. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again today for the reminder that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thank you, Father, that blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, and blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. I pray, Father, that we'll recognize that your word is our daily guide, our daily meat, that rumors and lies and deceits and half-truths have no part in the life of a Christian. May we embrace the whole truth with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Amen. Greet our visitors, fellowship. You're dismissed. God bless you.